Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 722, Dual Weaponizing, recorded live on February 27th, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back with another news-filled podcast. We actually have a news-filled one this time around. So it's going to be interesting to talk about.
Real Halo news, things. Not made-up stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
And not tease news, either. We do have a guest with us tonight as well, although not the guest that we originally were tweeting out and putting out on social media. Unfortunately, one of the hosts from Finish the Fight had something come up, so they're going to reschedule. But we do have one of our latest new staff members on for the show. So welcome on board, Riding Spartan. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for inviting me.
Certainly. Thank you for being a part of Podtacular. We'll get to who you are and do our little interview in a little bit with you. But first things first, we have a little bit of community recap to go over, starting with Dragon Friday. How do we do, GT?
We did really well. Thanks to everybody. We're getting to the point where we may actually have to do either multiple lobbies or we may have to start rotating lobbies. I'm really happy with everybody that showed up this last week. I'd also like to thank our guests. Unfortunately, I am now blanking on their freaking names.
Savage Giggles, Obi-Wan, I forget what the last part of his tag is, and then there were two other people.
But sorry that we butchered the fact that we didn't remember who you were, but thank you for joining in. We appreciated the company, and I hope you all had a good time. You are all more than welcome to join us anytime you would like. We did stick with Reach. We jumped into customs pretty quick. We played a couple of new customs. We found some definite different ways to play games that were intended from their original design.
A little bit.
It's not good when you have kamikaze Falcons.
It was fun.
I'm not saying it wasn't fun.
I wasn't the one that started it, but it made it fun and interesting for sure.
I knew it was interesting when I heard Banzai!
Yeah. Yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Savage Giggles, The Empire, and Sebi D. Those were the four folks that we had on. And Savage Giggles, for those who don't know, is a personal friend of mine. She was also Hazel at Outpost.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we actually had a full custom lobby on Friday. It was pretty awesome.
It was. It was a lot of fun. It's nice to be able to play those bigger custom games with full lobbies. It makes it a lot more enjoyable.
And we'll be doing another poll again in our Discord for what we're going to be playing tomorrow. So again, if you intend on joining, go ahead and vote in the poll. If you are not intending on joining,
please tune in.
Yes, please tune in, but please refrain from doing a poll or voting in the poll. So that's all we ask.
Yes, please.
On the achievement side of things, I had a very short stream with Bobby because I actually got interviewed by the Halo Respawn folks. So you can expect a podcast coming out soon from them. I don't think they've actually done one this year yet, so I might be their first appearance for the year.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. But I got a chance to talk with Hungry Bear and South. So we talked a little bit about some of the New York Toy Fair news, since that was right after all that stuff, which we're going to talk about here tonight. And then also kind of did a little interview, or they had some interview questions for me. So yeah, go check it out when it goes up over at HaloRespawn.com. So I managed to do probably like a 30-45 minute stream. That turned out to be an hour because right as Bobby and I were finishing our last game, we got raided by real life Spartan. For
imagine
almost
that.
40 people. And he actually got raided by DreamHack, the DreamHack stream, since that was Sunday. So there was some trickle over from that. And it turns out now that we're followed by Needed on Twitch.
Nice.
So,
cool.
Yeah, that happened. Did manage to get two achievements, even though it was a short stream. Got casting 100 leader or healing leader powers, and then played a total of 777 Blitz cards. And with those two done, I think we're either at 13 or 14 more achievements in Halo Wars 2, so we're almost done.
Cool.
With Halo Wars 2. On the company commendations side of things, we're still trucking along trying to get that Achilles helmet. We've got our top three. First one is killing an opponent that shot you first. We have just over 1,000 of those to go. For getting splatters, we have about 400 more to go, 413 to be exact. And then on assassinations, we have another 424 there. So still working on it. Don't know if we'll get it by infinite, probably not, but we're making progress. So yes, if you want
to keep plugging away on it.
I can join you guys on that and not not you know.
Okay. Not in the Spartan company.
Help you out. Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, come on over. We've got plenty of spots. And for anyone else that's listening, we did a cleanse out of people who have been inactive on Halo about a month ago. So there's plenty of spots open if you're looking for a Spartan company to get the Achilles helmet and looking to help out, then we would appreciate it. For Machinima Monday, we had Hitchhikers, which was Ascend Hyperion's first Machinima release of 2020. It's a short little Machinima piece, about 7-8 minutes long. It's a little dark, so if you've got younger ones, it's probably not a Machinima for them to watch. But it is a very well-produced Machinima, and I recommend you check it out. Didn't do a streamer shout-out because time got the better of me and I forgot to do one. But there will be one this weekend.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. But there will be one this weekend. And I don't think we got any new tales from the Foxhole over on the Discord. So I think that's going to wrap it up for our community recap. So before we move on, let's learn a little bit more about one of our most recent additions to the Podtacular staff, Mr. Riding Spartan himself. So we have a couple standard questions that we ask all of our guests on the show, which you've probably heard a little bit. But we've got a couple of extra special questions since you're actually on Podtacular staff. So we'll start with the first ones. So first one is, how did you get involved with Halo? What was the thing that got you interested and it keeps you coming back?
So I started playing Halo with Combat Evolved. Basically split screen with my cousin and played split screen with him through Halo Combat Evolved until Halo 2. Hmm. And then I eventually got my own Xbox original and started playing it on my own. And then the 360 came out and Halo 3 was a thing. And then Xbox Live kind of exploded from there. And I started playing Halo religiously. It became kind of my only game that I'd play, as opposed to something that I'd play every couple of weekends with my cousin. And yeah, being a fan kind of snowballed from there and kind of becoming a bigger and bigger fan since then. Yeah, and here I am, still a massive Halo fan, so that's pretty much how I got into it. What keeps me sticking around is there's a lot of stuff, so yeah, probably far too much to go through in just one question's worth, so. But yeah, a lot of stuff. The community is obviously one of the main things as well. So,
yeah, very, very nice. And then this is, we normally ask, what do you do within the Halo community? But we'll kind of split that up and say, what do you do for Podtacular? And then what are some other things that you do within the Halo community outside of your Podtacular role?
Okay. So for Podtacular, my main role is, as a writer, basically. So the stuff like the Machinima Mondays, I'm going to be taking those over and writing up those. There's also the pieces to go up on Saturday. I've completely they've gone completely out of my mind.
The streamer spotlights.
That's the one. But basically, I'm going to be taking over a high portion of the written content that goes on the particular website. That's mainly going to be my role as the behind the scenes writer type guy. So yeah, that's what I'm going to be focusing on, really, is the community based stuff and stuff like that.
And there's a few new things in the works too.
And a few new things, yeah, that are still a little bit secret, so.
Yeah, sure. Very nice. So what about outside the Podtackler? Do you do anything else within the Halo community? Do you have your own stuff that you write for? Do you hop into other communities? Where else do you kind of peruse and get involved with Halo?
So, I mean, at the moment, I don't do... Probably not as much as what I used to do. I used to be quite big on the Halo Facebook pages. Admin. I used to be an admin for about 26 different pages. Cut that down to make it my own. Had a decent kind of thing on Facebook as the world's first poncho chief for a bit.
Nice.
Yeah. And then kind of... That on Facebook moved over to kind of do writing based stuff for Xbox websites and stuff, and that's what kind of got me into the writing side of stuff, as well as working every Halo Midnight launch for retail and Halo 4 community based stuff, giveaways, play dates, all that kind of stuff I've done in the past as well. So just bits of everything, really. Currently, I'm writing for Podtacular. I also do writing for Halo Respawn. Which you've mentioned earlier, Halo Respawn, that you did a podcast with. I also write for my own website as well, which is gaming related. So, yeah, that's
very nice.
That's a summary, really.
Very nice. Sounds like you are heavy in the writing space. So, we are definitely happy to have you on the Podtacular staff, and I am definitely going to. Be looking forward to you to helping split the load on some of the article writing, so that's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, I can't wait to kind of get involved and start writing. I mean, it's kind of strange, like, getting involved with Podtacular, because I've known about Podtacular for a long time. So for me, it's kind of, I suppose, a bit fanboy-y as well. But yeah, it is.
I can understand that.
It is really cool. So yeah, I can't wait to get started with my written stuff.
Very, very nice. We're looking forward to it. So the couple of special questions that we have for you, and you've kind of alluded to a couple of them already, but what made you want to join the Podtacular staff and write for Podtacular?
So yeah, I mean, there's a couple of answers to that, really. I suppose the core to it, really, is I'm always trying to help the community. That's kind of something that I've been doing for the best part of 9 years now, is trying to get involved with the community, trying to inform the community, grow the community, and help everyone kind of come together. Writing is a good way of doing that, is a good way of informing people and getting people talking. And after meeting yourself in Halo Outpost and kind of getting to chat with you and understanding your goals and stuff and Podtacular's goals, I thought, well, those two kind of went hand in hand, so I thought it would be a good opportunity.
Sounds good. I appreciate that, man.
That basically sums it up.
That's really, yeah, yeah. No, it's. We're happy to have you on, and thank you again for reaching out when we were asking for people to help. And then I know you said it was kind of a long story, so I guess try to keep it brief.
Okay.
But what is it about the Halo franchise that really speaks to you? What's kind of the thing that keeps bringing you back to Halo?
Ooh. See, now that you've worded it like that, it's not too difficult to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I keep going on about the community, but honestly, the community is one of the things that keeps me coming back, mainly because, you know, the games are ever-changing, and I play a lot of games. I don't just stick to Halo. I play, like, you know, PlayStation games and Nintendo games and whatnot. So I probably don't play as much Halo as I used to, but the community is... a community that I am constantly involved with every, like, second of the day, you know, if it's on Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot. So it's definitely the community that keeps me tied into Halo for sure as well. and keeps me kind of involved more than the games these days, for sure.
Well, I think you're definitely in a good place here on Podtacular for that.
Oh, good.
That's pretty much our MO, I think, right, GT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you on board, and thank you for taking time out of your morning, because you are, for those who haven't picked up, based in the UK or in...
Yeah, Northwest England. UK, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, let's get on to the rest of the show. Starting off as we normally do, we've got some playlist updates. GT, what do you got for us?
Well, for today, Action Shack rotates in for Griffball. And Warzone Turbo goes live.
Turbo.
Dust. Any comments? Okay, never mind.
It's Turbo time! Is that what you're waiting for?
On March 5th, the spring 2020 season begins. And Mythic Arena rotates in to ranked for March. Also, Halo 2 BR Slayer rotates in for Action Sack. On the 12th, Castle Wars rotates in for Halo 2 BR Slayer.
Castle Wars. Splatters.
Also, Warzone Assault goes live. On March 19th, we get Triple Team rotating in for Castle Wars. On the 26th, we get Core Play rotates in for Triple Team. And also, we get Warzone Turbo back. Let's see. In the Master Chief Collection. I said the magic word twice. Rotational playlist changes. Power Slayer rotates in and Shoddy Snipers is out. Power Slayer will be selectable in the Social 4v4 and FFA game searches available in Reach. Well, it's available in Reach.
Yeah, it's Reach for, because I pulled this from the PC one. It's available in all, but yeah.
Yeah.
So what is Power Slayer for those who haven't played it before?
Power Slayer is...
Third sentence.
Is interesting. And it's annoying, actually. No, I just being a pain in the ass. Trying to get my brain to work here. Damn. It's a unique twist on Slayer. It grants temporary power-up based on how you kill enemies. You earn increased movement speed for defeating an enemy, increased health for melee kills, and enhanced motion sensor for assassinations, and increased damage for finishing off an opponent with headshot.
It's definitely a weird game.
Yeah. Thing. Like I said, annoying.
Yeah, for sure.
It does put a different twist on it, and
I don't care for it much either.
Some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah, I don't care for it much either.
And as for a guy that doesn't like snipers, I think I'd rather have shoddy snipes.
I would agree with you there. Yep.
But have fun with it while it's there.
Yep. Indeed. The community spotlight has not come out as of this recording, so we're just going to skip right over that. We've got a couple of social posts. First one is Mantra Esports wins DreamHack Anaheim, dethroning Tox or Spectra, who actually lost in the losers' finals.
Wow. Unlike them.
Yeah, this is the first time that team has not gotten a top two finish in 4 years? 5 years? Something like that?
A while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a pretty big upset.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, congratulations to Mantra Esports for taking home the gold. Mantra consisted of MLG Ace, Boobadoobo, Falcated, and Spartan with Elamite as a coach. So I guess Elamite stepped down from being a commentator and started coaching again.
Cool.
Very cool. Congratulations, Mantra, for taking home the gold from DreamHack Anaheim. Next news we have is Flight has been extended for MCC on PC. So for those that are in the Halo Insider and got invited, the flight has been extended to February 28th, which when we're recording this is tomorrow. So there's a couple more things that they found that they want to test it out. So they have updated the build on Steam for those that have been invited. So if you're on it, and you want to go, and you, at this point, if you haven't heard about it, go download it, play it. By the time you're listening to this podcast, it's probably already over, unless they decide to extend it again. But yeah, it's given me an opportunity to actually try it out because I didn't even get to try it out last week because of everything that was going on.
I've gotten to play it, not a lot, but I've gotten to play quite a bit of it. And they've done a really good job with CE. It plays really well. It takes some adjusting because it doesn't play the same as it used to.
Okay.
Now, granted, I will tell you, I play with controller. I don't play keyboard and mouse. Not in a competitive situation. I'm just not that. It's frustrating to me to play keyboard and mouse in that situation. So I do use a controller. But, you know, even with a controller, it feels different.
In a good way, or?
In a I'm not used to it way.
Okay.
The targeting took a little getting used to. You know, it's a little different than it was before. It's not bad. It's just different. It does also doesn't help that currently the crosshairs aren't exactly dead center. They're kind of off to the left and up a little bit. So you kind of got to adjust to that. So, you know, the crosshairs aren't in a natural position, at least for me.
I wonder if they've, in the new build, actually updated that.
I haven't tried the latest build yet.
I have
the one that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, the previous build, in other words, the first update they did for the flight, it had not been corrected yet.
Okay.
But this one, I don't know if they had corrected it on this one. And from what I saw on the punch list that they said they corrected, that they actually listed, it wasn't on there. Now, granted, there's probably some things they fixed that they didn't put on the list as well. So,
okay. Got it.
But all in all, Halo CE is feeling pretty good to me.
Good. Depending on how quickly we get done with this podcast, I might play for a little bit tonight. If not, I might try to hop on tomorrow before Frag and Friday starts and give it a try.
I recommend it.
Sweet. We've got some themed social posts. We've got some today in Halos and this week in Halos. You mind taking those, GT?
Today in Halo, which is actually the 25th, not the 27th, Sergeant John Forge defeats the Arbiter, Ripa Morami, in combat and then sacrifices his own life to destroy the Forerunner shield world 0459, as well as both the Covenant forces and the Flood it contained.
Rip.
Which is funny because I'm kind of reading that book.
Which is funny because I actually finished that book.
Amazingly.
Amazingly,
he's actually finished the book, the next book we're going to review. More than a week before we review it.
And I'll be finished with the next one before we even start the podcast on this book.
This week in Halo, on the 26th, 11 years ago, we joined the Spirit of Fire as it embarked on a mission that would take it from War Battern front of Harvest to the hollow depths of the mysterious Forerunner shield world. Happy birthday, Halo Wars. And then on the 21st, it has been 3 years since Captain Cutter and the crew of the UNSC Spirit of Fire found themselves locked in a brutal battle against the deadly mercenary faction known as the Banished. Happy birthdays to Halo Wars 2. Damn. Time flies.
Yeah,
it does. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years already for Halo Wars 2.
Right?
Yeah.
And 11 just for Halo Wars is something.
Mm-hmm.
Time flies.
On to the Yes, it does. On to some community highlights for some podcast updates. HCS Pro Talk just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, recorded their 115th episode. Unfortunately, Will was sick, so they did not do their normal Sunday scheduled show. But they did. They were able to make it up, and they have done their DreamHack Anaheim post show, which is about 2.5 hours long on their YouTube. So head on over there and check it out. Podcast Evolved has released their Mission Debrief episode 86, which is Halo Wars, the mission Dome of Light. And then for their book club podcast, they did Halo, The Fall of Reach, going back to where it all began for the Halo books.
Mm-hmm.
Finish the Fight's latest episode is their bonus episode number 6, Ranking the Spartan 2s. And they have an upcoming episode doing a wrap-up on the Bungie era of Halo, which should be releasing in the next couple of days. So make sure you go and check that out over on their YouTube channel. Play Griffball has posted their Reach final matchup and supposedly has already taken place because the final was supposed to take place Wednesday, February 26th at 10:45 p.m. Eastern time. The two teams that were going into the finals were the Thundercats, who had a 10-game season, 9 wins, 1 loss, and Junkyard Dogs, or Dugs, as it's spelled, and they had a perfect record during their season. I have not checked their Discord to see what the final outcome was, but we will have that for our next episode. And then some miscellaneous stuff. This was from back earlier in the month, but I had bookmarked it and I just had forgotten to put in the show notes, but someone actually 3D printed a Griffball that is human scaled. So it's like if a human was a Spartan size, it's been scaled down a little bit. And it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait till you get it painted.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of, if they're going to kind of go with the Halo 2 bomb or the Halo 3 bomb, because there's some interesting text on the bomb, depending on which Halo bomb you go with. So yeah. The Xbox Series X has been revealed, and it has gotten social media ablaze.
The specs have been revealed.
Yes.
The Xbox was revealed a month ago. The specs for the Xbox have been revealed.
I thought I said specs. I meant to say specs, but thank you for catching
that. Considering we're all wearing specs as well.
There you go. So yes, the Xbox Series X specs were released. Thank you, GT. And it has a lot of cool features added to it.
It's looking very impressive.
It is.
They have definitely stepped it up over the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to get confusing. Microsoft.
Too many X's. Who knew? Like, you look at the Scrabble
board. I mean, even Apple has moved off of the X. Okay? We had the years of the X's. We're done with them.
You know, I get it. The Microsoft logo with Windows has an X just chiseled at 45 degrees because you have the four squares, so it's the X that goes in between the windows. That's why they're keeping the X.
I think they call that a plus.
A plus is just an X turned 45 degrees.
Yeah.
And a plus is just an X turned 45 degrees.
Anyway, yeah, I was really impressed with the specs. I can't wait to see actual gameplay on the box because it looks like it'll be really impressive.
I will not be getting one unless there's a Halo edition, which I've seen people say, like, you don't want to necessarily kill off the initial launch. So having, or like the initial launch of the game. So to have the console edition, then like a collector's edition, you don't want those to conflict. So I will probably.
Why they did it. They've done it with other ones with Halo Reach. They had the collector's edition.
Well, like the Halo Xbox wasn't a launch Xbox when it.
No, I mean it wasn't, but it was for the game. I mean, they had the legendary edition of the game, and they had the collector's edition of the Xbox, and that all launched at the same time.
Did the original Xbox One have a standard version and the Scorpio version at launch?
No.
No.
The The Xbox One, there was only one version at launch. You bought the Xbox One with the
Kinect. Remember, there was like a wasn't there a limited edition like Project Scorpio edition that released
when the One X? Yes,
when they introduced the Xbox One X. Yes,
right, okay, but that was still like two editions coming out at the same time, right?
Yeah, but it just has
not really. The Scorpio was the pre-order box,
right? Okay.
It's the same
in order to get. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just one of them because I got one of the Scorpios. And basically, it's the same thing. The only difference is the Scorpio came with the stand, and it says Scorpio on it instead of X.
Right. So it's basically just like a different skin. So like the Halo console, is basically.
Yeah, it would be the same thing as a Halo Edition console.
Yeah, but I don't know if, like, for the launch of Xbox Series X, if they would do a Halo
version. The original Xbox had the Halo Xbox.
Not when it launched, because they didn't know how popular. Like, when Xbox launched, it was just that one version of the Xbox, and then the Halo Xbox edition came afterwards.
I thought it launched with it.
The crystal one.
Guess not.
The C edition one.
The green one. Yeah, I thought it was afterwards.
Well, they had the green one, and then they had the blue one, too.
Yeah, the blue one was the Halo 2.
Yeah. But those, you know, the blue one wasn't a console launch. Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to get one or not. I haven't really decided yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I most likely probably will. I'll probably get at least one. But it will probably be determined by if they are going to do a Halo version. And seeing that they're launching Halo with the console, man, if they don't at least announce one, that they're going to probably get some flack for that.
Yeah, I don't mind if it would come out after the Xbox Series X launch, but I would hope to see like. We have plans for a Halo console like in the next 3-6 months or something like that. Or
yeah,
I guess if they want to do a launch day one, then.
But honestly, I don't see how having a themed console would really damage the launch.
I guess not. I guess it's more just not the norm or been done in the past.
It couldn't be. I hope that they have a true legendary edition of the game.
That would be nice.
Statue?
I'm already trying to save up for buying a legendary edition of Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big box, not little box. Big box.
Yes. Yes. And not... Yeah. Anyways. So, the brief specs that they released is the GPU that is going to be in this console... can do a whopping 12 teraflops of processing thanks to some AMD architecture that they're utilizing. They're going to have variable rate shading, which I'm need to read a little bit more up on that. It looks like it has to do with prioritizing individual effects.
Yeah, it's their custom version of ray tracing.
Okay. And then they have hardware accelerated direct X ray tracing, solid state storage, which is a big change.
See, this is what I want to know. What I really want to know is if it's SATA storage or if it's NVMe storage.
Probably SATA.
Probably.
But still.
I mean, it's still better. Don't get me. Yeah. It's still better than a spinning disk. But. I mean, NVMe has gotten so cheap in comparison.
Just can we finally get to a point where we can put in our own hard drives? Like, if we want to upgrade the hard drives, can we please do that? Please?
No.
Please?
No, they're actually moving even further away from that. Because I guarantee you the storage is soldered onto the board. I doubt it's even a standalone drive inside the box.
The 360 days were so cool when you could just attach it from the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, in the 360 days, the entire operating system was kept on a chip the size of a RAM chip. The operating system for a 360 wasn't Shit, I don't even think it was a gigabyte.
Yeah, it was small. Still small.
Yeah. Even with all the updates they've done.
It's Windows NT architecture. Quick resume for multiple games. So you can resume games from a suspend state almost instantly for multiple games at a time. Dynamic latency input. So optimizing latency. HDMI 2.1. 120 FPS support. And smart delivery. So like if you buy a game and you have it on Xbox One, then you'll get assets for the Xbox Series X stuff, which we actually heard that kind of announcement back at E3, but it seems like people forgot because everyone was going crazy of like, hey, if you buy Halo on Xbox One for Infinite, then you can get it on Xbox Series X and PC. It's like, well,
yeah. I seem to remember someone on this podcast saying that they probably will have to do that. I don't know who that was. But I'm pretty sure somebody said that probably about the time they announced the Xbox One X. Anyway, yes.
Yes.
The game that you download will be the correct version for the Xbox that you are playing it on. So they will have multiple builds of each game. And, well, I mean, the developer will build one game and then they'll port it down to the lower end boxes.
Yeah.
You know, for the like, Xbox One and Xbox One X or the Xbox One S.
Yeah. Remember back in the 360 days when you had like a separate install that you could do for like higher fidelity graphics if you had one of the kind of better 360s? It's basically like that. You
could, I don't know that because I never had one of those 360s.
Well, like the thing that comes to mind for me is Battlefield, where you had the extra just that you could install to get the better graphics.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, I did have an Xbox 360 Elite or whatever, the black one. But I, you know, that one I bought used, so you know, I never bought a game that took advantage of the newer hardware.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's a little glimpse into the Xbox One Series X, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it throughout the year.
I'm really looking forward to E3.
Me too. There's going to be a lot of stuff there.
Especially well, actually, here. I think here shortly, probably in the next month or two, they might actually hold a launch event for it. At least that's what rumor mill has been floating around.
Yeah, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Someone caught that Xbox accidentally tweeted that there was going to be a Xbox stream in April.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. There's a new stat site that has been going around the community, mccstats.com, and people have been getting really hyped about it. It was made by a person with a Twitter handle, Corey Figment. But it's a pretty basic site. It ties into, I guess there's some API or there's some screen scraping happening, but basically is a pretty simple presentation of your MCC stats. And it's just mccstats.com. So you have all of your playlist ranks. You have the total matches you've played, your play time, wins, losses, kills, deaths, KD ratio, win-loss ratio, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, my stats still don't look that good.
Mine don't either. Apparently, I've played 881 matches for a total play time of 52 days and 16 hours. My KD ratio is 1.12, and my win-loss ratio is 1.84.
Yeah, you're doing better than me.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple website. All you do is go there, enter in your gamer tag, and it loads pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't look like it shows you medals or anything, but it shows your overall sets, so...
Yeah, basically it's the same stuff that you can find on Waypoint, but it's just presented in a lot more simple and cleaner format.
And you don't have to log in.
Without having to dig.
As well.
Right. You don't have to dig either. There's an interesting tweet of someone actually at DreamHack Anaheim playing with mouse and keyboard and controller.
I've seen this.
You saw that? Yeah, so someone was basically playing like whenever it was kind of close quarters, it was with a controller. And then when this person had the sniper, he switched over to mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, he had the controller like on his lap or something. So he just like he just like pull it out like whenever he needed to switch. It was really interesting.
It was crazy, and like he had the sensitivity of the mouse way low, so he could have these big swiping motions and have really fine control over the sniper. So it was really interesting to see him go back and forth between mouse, keyboard, and then controller.
Yeah, I can never move my arm that far to frickin' shoot. I mean, you know, to turn, he moves his arm like 4 feet.
Has one of those big, like 24-inch mouse pads.
Yeah, I was just sitting here watching him, and to turn, he literally goes across that mouse pad twice.
Yep.
I understand it gives you a really stable shot, but I mean, the whole idea that I've always heard about mouse and keyboard is the instant response that it has. And that goes directly against everything that I've been told. But anyway.
Yep.
More power to him. Hey.
Yeah. There is another tweet out there which caught some people's attentions. Roll Rainey. I have no idea how you say his name. But apparently he has directed 2 of the Halo TV show episodes. And from his Twitter bio, he is known for the pilot episodes of Marvel's Inhumans, Death Race sequels, Death and Tombstone, Admiral, Michael de Ruyter, and Black Sails. So, I don't know.
I've watched one of those.
Okay.
One of those shows. Inhumans. That's the only one I've watched.
That's the only one I recognize. But yeah, apparently he directed 2 episodes of the new Halo TV show, and he said it's going to be epic.
Epic!
Interesting that he's only directed 2, though. Like, is he going to be directing the rest as well? Or?
Well, I think there's multiple directors.
Yeah, I think they've got several directors, so they can kind of get probably a different feel for different episodes.
Fair enough.
And some other TV shows regularly do that, where they have either some of the cast direct episodes or like have different directors do different episodes to either get a different style or a different feeling, or if they're doing something different.
A show like Star Trek, you know, throughout a season, they'll have multiple directors do the shows throughout the season.
Yep.
So yeah, that's not uncommon.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like I said, I just hope they put it out in a format where I can watch it and not have to buy a Showtime subscription to watch it.
Yeah. Because
if I have to do that, then I probably ain't going to watch it.
Yeah. Or hopefully a digital or disc release soon after it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll buy a DVD, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to buy a subscription to Showtime just to watch it.
Yep. All right. Let's head on over to Community Musings. And we've got our normal Halopedia Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday. And we've also got a new thing in here as well that we'll get to in a second. But GT, why don't you kick it off with some of the Halopedia stuff?
Well, Halopedia posted for Trivia Tuesday. Did you know that during the development of the original Halo Wars, several vehicles were modeled and eventually cut from the game? This week, they're showing off the Covenant
Chimera.
A vehicle bearing a slight resemblance to the Halo 2 Scarab with a hunchback.
It's very weird looking.
Yeah, it's odd. It almost looks like a bed bug.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say a Scarab, a Watcher, and a bed bug.
Yeah, it really does look like a bed bug. So that's interesting. And for Halopedia's Lore Thursday, Far Isles was a human colony that was the site of one of the worst
atrocities,
framework ever committed by the UNSC. Following a Following a revolt in 2492 that they couldn't contain, the UNSC raised the colony with a nuclear weapon, leaving no survivors. Which they do actually mention in some of the external fiction. So it's referenced, it's never described, but it is referenced in the fiction. So
okay.
It's kind of interesting.
Either I don't remember that or I haven't run across it yet. I've probably run across it and I just didn't realize it.
I'm trying to think of where it's one of those things, it kind of blows right past you, and until you've actually gone over it a couple of times, it doesn't really register.
Okay.
It's one of those comments in a discussion that you just kind of roll past.
Okay. You want to hop on down there to the new one? Podcast Evolved?
Let's see. Oh, the Halo Hump Day?
Mm-hmm.
Time for more Halo lore.
Yeah.
Yay. In 97445 BCE, with the flood rapidly approaching, the Isodidact fired the
Neoteric
Halo Array, wiping out all sentient life in the Halo or in the galaxy and neutralizing the flood threat.
Yep.
So that would be
the old Greg Barry novels.
Yeah. That would be the smaller Halo rings.
Neoteric, what was the other one? The Sentient Array? Is that the older one? Yeah.
That's the older.
The newer array. Yeah, because the older one, that was for a localized effect. And the Neoteric was...
Well, the older one was... it was actually destroyed when a large chunk of it was destroyed at Maethrelion when they were fired on the Forerunner homeworld. Between the battle of the Forerunner fleet and Mendicant Bias.
Right.
So several of the rings were destroyed then. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, only the one ring survived.
Which is now Zeta Halo. Which is unconfirmed, but likely where Halo Infinite will take place.
Well, at least some of it.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, that Halo ring escaped destruction there and then was shrank down to be, it was reduced in size due to damage. To fit into the new array.
Yep. We've also got Podcast Evolve's Know Your Halo series. We've got a week's worth of tweets, but we'll just do the latest ones that we have here. The one for today is, this Sangheili colony was completely destroyed by a Nova bomb after the end of the Human Covenant War around December 2552.
I know what it is.
I know what it is.
And I'm a complete scrub.
Do you so know what it is?
The options are Sangheilios, Glyke, Sunion, or Eos.
It's actually Glyke.
Glyke, sorry. Or Eos. I know this because we recently read a book on this.
Yes.
You want to take a random guess?
I mean, I'm just going to go with either the second or the last option.
Glyke or Eos?
Yeah. All the lore nerds are probably going to be hating me right now. But I'll go with the second one. It sounds more kind of...
Glyke?
Yeah, it sounds more kind of...
Glyke?
Yeah, I'll go.
GT, is he correct?
We'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil their fun.
Oh, Penn's already spoiled it.
I can't see the chat, so I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Well, you'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, careful. We don't want you to crash in
your computer. Yeah, exactly.
with the extra load. Yes, the answer is Glyke.
See, I kind of know the way the names are formed, so that's my reasoning at least.
And then this was yesterday's. This is where Miranda Keys suggested squad leader rally during... Wow, this is broken English. Okay. This is where Miranda Keys suggested squad leaders should rally during the battle for Earth. The options are your mom's house, behind Master Chief, to battle, or to war. And yes, the cringe. The cringe. Only 70% got it right, though.
It's like one of the worst lines in Halo.
It's weird. I think most people, you know, they voted for the other two just to be because, you know, not that they actually knew, they actually thought that was the answer.
Okay. Okay. Sure. We'll say that.
But they're putting out some good stuff. I like it.
Yeah. It's a nice little thing.
Mm-hmm.
They actually helped out trying to put together some Jeopardy questions, which we didn't use for Outposts this last summer, which they're kind of using some of that to feed some of this. But we'll actually be doing another kind of game show round this year, and I'm going to work on getting Jeopardy up and running. But since there is no Outpost this year, we'll probably won't be a podcast, but there'll probably be some live stream where we do a game show thing very akin to what we did for Outpost.
We can do the Podtacular game show.
There you go. Some YouTube videos from some content creators out there. We've got Hidden Xperia posting about the New York Toy Fair. So he's kind of analyzes some of the figures that we see and is kind of taking, not necessarily out of context, but he's kind of inferring some of the stuff that we saw from the toys might be hinting at what the appearance will be in game. And also,
well, I mean, the toys do generally follow what the game does.
They do, but not always.
Don't get me wrong there. Not always. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm happy that there's new Halo toys out there, which is great, but some people are taking this way too far.
The Halo news drought has has affected a lot of people.
I mean, I understand that, you know, most of us have become mentally deficient because it's been so dry lately. But come on, people. I've never seen so many people get so happy about a boat.
I mean, the boat's pretty cool.
The boat's cool. I will say that the boat is cool. But calm down.
I feel like I'm guilty.
That there's a watercraft.
I'm guilty of that. I put out like eight tweets of the toys, and like as soon as they revealed, I was like, ah.
I mean,
it's good info to have out there. Don't get me wrong, and it does give us a sneak peek.
Yeah, and I will say, because of the news drought that we've had, just seeing something is going to make us excited. So, like, it's not faulting anyone getting hyped. It's just like, okay. You got the hype, you got the feels. Now come back down to earth a little bit.
The grunt's pretty cool though. Come on, the grunt is like really epic.
The grunt does look pretty cool.
Yeah, the grunt. It's a nice mix of 343's art style and Bungie's art style.
That's why I like it so much. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect blend.
Actually, you know, before we get too far into the toy stuff, Ultimate Halo put out a video about what he thinks the marketing campaign is going to look like for Halo Infinite and what, you know, he's thinking that they possibly could be doing with the amount of backlash that they got with the Halo 5 marketing, which it was deserved. What they advertised and what they delivered were two different things.
Yeah, it was.
They might be looking at, you know, doing a much more compact marketing schedule with Infinite.
Which I'd be fine with.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Halo 4 was quite similar.
You know, I would like to, you know, the one thing I liked about Bungie's marketing is, yeah, you know, with Halo 3, they kind of took it up to another level with all the little videos and stuff that they did, you know, the Landfall video and Starry Night and all that stuff, and the Halo, you know, the diorama, all that stuff. but it was never, you know, those weren't really ever pointed to the actual story of Halo 3. You know, not directly. You know, not like Halo 5's marketing was, where, you know, Halo 5's marketing was actually trying to, you know, advertise the game's story, at least the way they were laying it out. If 343 does something like that, I would be totally okay with.
Yeah, me too. What were you saying, Spartan?
I was just saying something probably regarding the marketing. I have completely gone out of my head. I think it was more to do with kind of the approaches you were saying about, like, the Halo 3 kind of having quite a gap for marketing and kind of not showing the story mm-hmm. completely. I think Halo 4 had a very similar kind of marketing in the sense that it wasn't constant and it was like toys and info on toys and stuff was getting people hyped, and it was, you know, the gameplay was fair shown the year the game came out and that kind of thing. So I feel like Infinite mm-hmm. is quite similar in the sense of it's going to be more like Halo 4's marketing than how Halo 5's marketing was. That's basically
what I don't even remember Halo 4's marketing.
Halo 4's marketing, at least the video section of the marketing, did focus more on the story they were telling than Halo 3 did. It wasn't as intense as Halo 5's, and I think that's where they really went wrong. They put too much of what can be considered story in the marketing. They weren't vague enough. So, you know, as long as they can, you know, Halo 4 was probably right there on that line about giving you information and still being vague enough that you're still making assumptions.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, like with Halo 3, yeah, I liked the vidocs that Bungie always did. Those were always my favorite things, is the vidocs. This is what we're working on. Like when they introduced the Brutes.
The vidocs were nice.
Yeah, I love those things. I really wish 343 would bring those back.
The sprint stuff.
Those, honestly, I like those. I like that as a marketing campaign better than the commercials or the produced videos, like, you know, that they did, you know, like the Starry Night and the all that stuff. I preferred the vidocs over the actual, like, the advertisement type video. Mm-hmm.
Did we do a podcast episode about marketing strategy?
I think we've touched on it a few times. I don't think we've done one dedicated to it.
That might be a good topic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Angie's saying yes to that or something else.
As I was saying, I would recommend go check out Ultimate Halo and check out this latest video, because he's got some good theories. And I kind of hope 343 is thinking the same way he is.
Yeah. Okay. Angie's saying we did. I would be okay with them kind of taking a smaller approach, and I would like to see something like the I Love Bees or the Iris campaign
mm-hmm.
make a return for Halo. I think that'd be really, really cool way to get people engaged. And it's like they're doing marketing, but it's kind of like this under the hood marketing. So if you were willing to go out there and dig for it, then you would find it.
Yeah.
Halo Canon has a video also talking about the toy fair, a little more level headed than Hidden Xperia's.
Mm-hmm.
Installation 00 has 3 new videos. First one is the second installment of Project John 117. Wait. Yeah. And the next video is Master Chief is not lucky. I haven't watched this one, but I'm actually curious about what he's going to talk about in here. I don't know if he's going to talk about the gayish or something else. And then he has his 15th installment of the Armory, and it is featuring the Type 50 beam rifle. Pence was saying that the Master Chief is not lucky video is a good one, so looking forward to it. We've got a couple videos from Green Skull, again, toy discussion, and then we've got 4 new videos from General Kid. These videos are still kind of in the realm of unfound Halo stuff and some other interesting mod things. First one being in Halo 1, there's a secret double speed power-up. Halo 2, what happens if an ally or enemy AI blocks Johnson's scarab beams? Halo 1, the original beta version of the Rocket Hog. And then Halo 3, campaign with your multiplayer elite.
They all sound pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's amazing the glitches that people are finding all of a sudden.
Well, and like some of the stuff for Halo CE, it's like people have known about these from the PC port, but now it's like, okay, what little nuances were left in the Xbox version that never made it over to PC? So it's rediscovering some of the ones that they already know about or finding new ones that were on Xbox that they never found before. So. Then Halo Codex, we have a video, How Sergeant Johnson Escaped the Flood in CE. I don't know what comic this is from or if this is just a fan comic, but it's like a minute and a half video. And then Marty's been posting some videos as well. There's a little Major Nelson Marty Halo 3 interview excerpt that he posted. And then a Bungie in 1996 in glorious 320p at 15 frames a second.
Marty's been on the ball.
Firing up the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's go ahead and jump into some of the main topics that we have. Of course, there was the weapon stuff, which we've kind of touched on already. So why don't we just kind of pick up that conversation? We've talked about the grunt and a couple of the armor changes that we've seen. And I just kind of want to echo what GT said earlier, and just because it's what we're seeing is not necessarily exactly how it's going to look in the game. But it does seem like they're trying to go back to a little bit more simpler, maybe more of the classic vibrant colors than we have seen with some of the later Halos.
You know, honestly, yeah, I mean, that's what the classic Halo is, but I just don't see a bright red Spartan out on the battlefield.
Halo 3.
I mean, real life.
Well, no.
I mean, to be fair. But
I mean, if that's
it's a video game, but I mean, all in all, what they're showing in the toys, I'm mostly okay with. I like what I've seen. The Warthog, honestly, I haven't really been the biggest fan of the way 343 has treated the Warthog as far as its sound design or its actual physical design. Don't get me wrong, it looks good, but, in that respect, that is one of the things that I've never really liked their art style on. The Forerunner stuff, I actually enjoyed. A lot of the armors I've enjoyed. The biggest thing about armors that I haven't enjoyed is the lack of the lack of customizability of the armor. In other words, mix massing pieces. But from what I see, I like it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it looks like it, they're going back to a more classic look to the aesthetic of the game. I just hope they don't take it too far and then it turns into Halo 1 all over again.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I mean, I did.
I think the...
Go on, you go first.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can go first, son.
Okay. I do think with the armor as it is, it's like some of the stuff obviously is Reach because you have Carter and Kat in here, so it's hard to say what specifically is pertaining to Infinite and what's pertaining to Reach and that kind of stuff, but it does seem like they're, because like Halo 5 had like the curvy detail, like outrageous detail stuff of the armor, and this seems to akin back to kind of taking a little step back, not necessarily as a bad thing, but really getting back to kind of where the Halo 3, the Halo Reach style armor was, and possibly the customization too, because there's a whole bunch of like different chest pieces that we're seeing and some different accessory type things depending on which specific one that you're looking at from the pictures that we see. So it's it seems to kind of be that Halo 3, Halo Reach style armors and customization possibly within the game.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Spartan?
I was just going to say, it seems to me like the toy reveal was a bit of kind of a legacy kind of toy reveal and not just an infinite toy reveal, which is why we're seeing stuff like Halo Reach related merch, Halo 5 related merch, and also the Warthog was using, you know, like the new USC, the new UNSC logo, whereas the Megablox Warthog was using the old one, so there's a bit difference there. So it seems to me like the toy reveal had like an odd few infinite stuff, but overall it's more like a legacy reveal. And in terms of like the Spartan armor especially, I think that's one thing to take note, is just because we're seeing one kind of Spartan design doesn't mean they've gone back on to Bungie style, because we're gonna have a lot of different armors in game, right? So just because we see one that might look more Bungie-esque doesn't mean that they're gonna completely scrap their own style either. Which is really what I'm hoping. I hope they keep their own style in there, because I think it'd be a shame to completely just say, right, okay, let's go back to the Bungie style completely. But that's what I got from the toy reveal, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's... There is infinite stuff there, but yeah, it wasn't all infinite stuff. You know, as far as, you know, like the armors, you could see where they're kind of mirroring the... You know, the Infinite reveal trailer where they show Master Chief the first time, where he has a more classic style armor, you know, less, well, less Halo 5-ish.
Yeah.
But it's there. Yes, there's going to be more armor because, you know, they've already stated that they're working on a Reach-esque customization system for Halo 5 or for Halo Infinite. So we know that there's going to be more to come. And, you know, this is just a taste. I find it interesting the characters that they chose to reveal to.
Tanaka, for example.
It's Tanaka.
There's a Palmer helmet.
Yeah. You know, just this mix across multiple games of characters. You know, some of which the character themselves is dead, you know, with Kat and Carter. You know, the characters themselves are dead. And, you know, I've seen a few threads where, oh, Carter made it.
It was actually, you know, Carter in the cave.
Didn't make it. He was between a rock and a bigger rock. Spartans are tough. They're not that tough. But, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic with what they're gonna, what they're producing.
And some of this stuff might not be finals either.
I mean, most of it didn't particularly look like it was 100% polished, so yeah. But most of them were cool designs. And one thing I found interesting as well, if you look really carefully on the boxes, they do mention about having a code inside as well. So that's gonna kind of go back to similar to what they did with Halo 4, where a lot of the specialist figures had codes for certain armor skins and stuff. I'd imagine it's going back to that as well, so that's pretty cool.
And that I don't mind. You know, it gives you a little extra incentive to want to collect the figure.
I'll definitely start collecting.
You know, again. I get the figure, but I also get the special weapon skin as well, or weapon, you know, armor piece. I would imagine it's probably just a skin, but yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. And yeah, you could see that, you know, especially the Mega Construct stuff, you know, there was some stuff there that was just plain black plastic. You know, it no detail to it at all.
Well, some of the stuff apparently was still under embargo, so they were just like black placeholder figures, not even necessarily the figures that they would be showing off.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot left to be revealed on that. But so far, I think they're off to a good start.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the whole Master Chief having some dirt and then the Mongoose and the Warthog from the Wicked Cool Toys having like the dust and dirt on it?
They're vehicles. They're military vehicles. Even Master Chief. You think he's always clean?
I'm No, but I was just curious.
You think there's a marine that follows around with a little buffing pad? Oh, here, let me get that for you.
No, it's the nanobots.
It's like...
I can't believe it.
Sorry.
the vehicle's dirty. I mean something. It's a vehicle.
Pins is trying to put me in the corner for that one.
Anyway. It's aesthetics. Because my Tonka truck's got mud on the tires, that means something. I mean,
that's four in a mud. There is more load to this than meets the eye.
Mud and Halo confirmed.
Yeah.
We can add that with the trees.
Oh,
real dirt! Oh! It's... you could make anything you want out of it, but it's dirt.
And then there was the one weapon model that we're not sure what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what that... what? I don't know if that's just a placeholder weapon model or what.
To me, and I've been sharing this around a little bit, and I even brought this up on the Halo Respawn interview that I did, but remember that piece of concept art with Master Chief and like kind of a railgun looking
I know which
thing,
one you mean.
And he had the cloak and the elites around him? Kind of reminds me of that. It's not an exact match, but that's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people reference that particular piece. But again, it could be just a flat placeholder weapon. They wanted to put something different in his hand than the AR.
I don't mind that change, to be honest.
But the AR is his favorite weapon. It says so in the books.
Well, he does carry one a lot.
He does. He does. I do like how the opening of the display at the toy fair was basically like Unicy bay doors.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And then shout out, obviously, to the legendary 117 and Mrs. Legendary 117 for getting to get a first look at some of the stuff and posting a lot of pictures on Twitter. And
yes.
They have an Imgur album as well, so that's kind of everywhere. And there are some prices out there. I didn't take the time to actually write them down, but I think the 3 3/4 inch figures are $9.99. I think the 6 inch figures, and Laird's in the chat, he can probably...
Oh, I think I actually wrote this down. I can probably pull it up.
What were the prices then?
I shall just go on to the magical phone device and find out.
That's a wonderful device.
It is. I just gotta find out where it was that I posted them.
Yeah, so I think the 3 3/4. Okay, he's
got. We got go expected the release is October 2020 for everyone we were shown. 6.5 inch figures are $19.99. This is all in dollars, by the way.
Yep.
3.75 inch figures are $9.99. 12 inch figures $9.99. Cosplay face masks $9.99. Master Chief premium helmet $99.99. The Energy Sword is $29.99. The Halo Warthog is $29.99. The Mongoose with Master Chief is $19.99. And the multi-packs with two characters to be determined is $14.99.
And all those villain to be determined and figure to be determined.
Yeah. What do you mean the villain is to be determined? That is the villain.
That's the name. That's his name.
His name is Villain.
His name is Villain. Oh. Confirmed. Halo follower, come on, we need a video.
We probably did already by the time we're releasing.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I don't. He doesn't even show up in my feed anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not nervous.
So on the Mega Construct side, we had the teases and we pretty much knew what the silhouettes were, but we got the first look at the Pelican, the Mongoose, and the Warthog, and there are rebuilds, which I didn't know what they were until I posted on social media, and several people reached out to me. Halo Fan for Life told me that it's like you get separate instructions through like the Mega Constructs or like the Builders app on your phone for some sets. So yeah, you can rebuild the Pelican into a defensive base, the Warthog into a boat, a motorboat, and the Mongoose into kind of like a...
hover bike.
Yeah, a hover bike, kind of out of like Star Wars.
Boats confirmed.
So you can have a Mongoose or you can have a motorcycle with no wheels.
Yeah. No pins. It's not a jet ski. It's actually, it's a air bike, hover bike.
Well, you could,
I mean, call it sure, a you could, but ski? It's not a jet ski. But the fact that we have a boat could mean something. Yeah, who knows? Here's a question for you guys. What do you guys think of the color green that they've chosen?
I don't mind it too much.
Like it's
green.
Well, I mean, it's a different shade, and I've seen some people talk about it, and it was something that I noticed when we first got the reveal for the Mega Constructs, and the fact that the green was pretty much kind of the same throughout all of the stuff that we saw from Wicked Cool Toys, mm-hmm. too. It's a little bit different green than what we've seen in Halo in the past. I personally like it.
Honestly, as long as it's not, you know, pink with purple polka dots, it's good to me. I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a military shooter. It as long as it follows, you know, a military color scheme that, you know, that makes sense.
I've always preferred the dark greens, I must say, when it comes to the UNSC stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really care at the same time. Like, as long as it's green.
Fair enough. Some people get picky about colors, some people don't, so it was just kind of one of those things of like...
Yeah, I understand.
And people in the chat are kind of saying the same thing, they don't care too much. It's green. It's cool that we all are like-minded on that.
Well, I mean, you know, the only thing I could see where it'd be a problem if you're trying to set up some type of scene or something.
Green screen.
You know, as a display or...
Perfect camouflage.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably don't want like a neon green Spartan trying to hide in the bushes because it's not going to work out very well.
Probably not. Any other comments about the stuff that we saw at New York Toy Fair before we move on?
No, nothing here.
I will just reiterate what we've been saying. These are still work in progress. These are not final designs. So let's come back down to earth. They might be in Infinite, but until we actually see something in Infinite, let's not jump to too many conclusions. Capiche?
The Red Spartan is going to be the new Master Chief. Confirmed.
Stop that. All right. Our next topic is dual wielding, and we didn't get too many responses on this one, but we did get a couple. So we... I've been meaning to talk about this for the last couple of weeks, and we hadn't actually gotten around to it, so we're finally getting around to it. So I'm going to read some responses before we get into our little discussion about it. First one comes from B-Train on Twitter. He says he'd love to see dual wielding in the campaign, not so much multiplayer. I can appreciate that. I think it would still be nice to have it as an option with multiplayer for customs, but I could appreciate that.
Yeah, dual wielding, the only real problem I've ever had with it is it's hard to balance in multiplayer. I mean, it's fun for customs or, you know, campaign, but as a mechanic for multiplayer, it's always been difficult to balance.
Yeah.
Because to balance it, you have to make each weapon pretty much useless without the other. You know, without something to pair with it.
Yeah, that's, you know, very similar to my opinion on it as well, as to why I wouldn't really want to see it in the future games, just because I think it'd just be a nightmare to balance, especially in terms of, like, Halo 3, for example. They were great if you always had two dual-wieldable weapons, but on their own, they were useless. They were never used, really. Halo 2 pretty much was the best. In terms of having dual-wieldable weapons, mainly just because
of
the
man.
Two pistols. Like, if you had two pistols, you'd just, like, spam both triggers. No one would fight back. Like, they'd melt instantly. But, like, any other combos, even in Halo 2, were pretty much obsolete. So it's like, if half your sandbox isn't being used or works as well as the rest, what's the point in having it in the first place? Kind of thing.
I know. Dual well, needlers, yeah,
you
man.
Could do the twin needlers if you could hit that, especially if you could hit that sweet
Walshy
spot
versus T-squared on the style.
You know, where you'd get the rapid fire on the needles, then you know the twin needlers was absolutely brutal. Yeah, I remember on Battle Creek just going on a tear with freaking needlers.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem though is. It's making weapons purposely underpowered so that they're purposely overpowered when you have them, when you have two of them. And if anything's purposely right. underpowered or overpowered, I think that they're being put in the sandbox for the wrong reasons. And that's one view I've always had on dual wielding anyways. I know a lot of people enjoy it, especially for custom games and stuff. But it ain't personally for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pins brings up a good point. You know, with the dual wielding, it makes that noob combo way too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, because you can run around with a pistol and a plasma pistol and a pistol, and you know you can just bang bang and you know it's hard to compete with that. I'm not saying you can't. It takes away the skill of learning. To do the weapon switch.
And the Halo 2 plasma pistol was absolutely dangerous and scary to see. Like this, because it was so slow, right? It was just like a floating ball of green just coming slowly towards you, but it just tracked you no matter where you went. And you knew as soon as someone fired that at you, you were dead. So, yeah, I mean, it was...
It's the jaws of Halo.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it is an absolute nightmare in terms of balancing and... Given that Halo is just continuously having more stuff added to it, I don't think it would really be beneficial to have it in. Not at least in multiplayer, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, it's a hard balance. And I mean, you guys bring up a good point where once you have the dual wielding, then how do you balance that out with the rest of the sandbox? Someone asked over in the Twitch chat how long we've been Halo fans.
Since
the beginning.
For me personally, 2005. That's when I really started getting involved with it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I've been playing it since C, but I probably wasn't like I wouldn't have called myself a fan probably until Halo 2. So if you want to be really nitpicky, probably 2004. But I've been playing since C.
Yeah, I've been there a long time. I've been a Halo fan for a long time. It's probably 2003. Yeah, I would say probably around 2003 is when I started getting involved in it.
Cool.
So, yeah, I've been a fan for a long time.
If you want to hear more about my story, then listen to the next episode of Halo Respawn because we talk about that a little bit.
There might also be the right Spartan at the end of that, possibly.
There might be. Might be. Misa Red over on Facebook replies, I like dual wielding, but I don't need it to be happy. Like, it's not a must. A lot of the time, I don't bother with it anyways. I like be able to switch weapons much more.
What do you guys think about melee with dual wieldable weapons? If it was brought back to balance melee, would like a supercharged melee, do you think that would work? If you had two weapons, it just kind of one hits? Instead, that kind of thing. What would you guys think about something like that?
Like from behind,
no, so like, yeah, like so it'd take like maybe a little bit longer to kind of melee with both weapons, but it'd be like a one-hit kill. I just thought I'd bring it up because I was discussing it with a Halo friend of mine today, and I thought, well, it's a perfect time to bring it up. So
that,
You know, honestly, the only thing I've ever really considered that should have a one-hit melee. When you're face to face is either, you know, when you have an objective like a bomb or a ball or a flag, because anybody that gets that close to a bomb carrier, flag carrier, there should be some risk in there.
Absolutely.
And it really bugged me when they took it away.
Yeah, in Halo 5, it's still a thing where not all the objectives are one hit. It's really annoying, especially in competitive. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be a topic for another show, but would that be something that would be better suited for Halo? Because I kind of like having that risk there, I think, is
a dual wield melee, one hit kill would be interesting. But the one thing is if you're dual wielding weapons, people are probably going to tend to want to stay away from you anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to catch somebody coming around a corner, which
it was
just
one of those conversation points, because obviously usually you drop your secondary weapon when you melee while you're dual wielding,
mm-hmm.
and that can be a bit of an inconvenience as well. Like if someone gets close to you while you're dual wielding, you can't really melee them without downgrading to a really rubbish kind of singular dual wieldable weapon. So yeah, it was just like one of those things. But yeah.
It would be nice if they would change it to where you had to, you wouldn't drop the weapon when you meleeed.
Well, like in the Halo 2 demo in 2003, they had just had the two SMGs as like a set thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I don't know, if they went back to that kind of style of dual-wieldable weapons, but then it's kind of just like, well, they're really just a singular unit then, so is it really dual-wielding?
Yeah.
Discussions.
It's hard from a it's hard from a sandbox discussion to talk about it because it's, or from a sandbox perspective.
Well, then then you also have to look at, okay, well, if we're going to have a one hit melee and we don't drop our weapon when we melee, how are we going to handle grenades? Are we going to have to physically drop a weapon before we can throw a grenade?
Yeah, true.
Or are you going to auto drop the weapon when you push the button to throw a grenade?
Well, and the other thing to that, too, is for Halo 2 and 3, you can only do one action depending on what your controller setup was. So, if you dual wield, you couldn't either melee, or you couldn't throw grenades, or you couldn't jump.
But you still melee, you just drop a weapon. You had to drop the weapon to throw a grenade, because your fire button for your secondary weapon was the same as your grenade button.
Yeah, But certain things wouldn't be doable depending on your controller setup.
But yeah, I mean, we're talking about, it all depends on the way things were, but yeah.
I know I kind of threw that like random question out there. right.
No,
it's actually a good question. Honestly, I'm to the point where if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not something I'm going to miss.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, even in Halo 3 and Halo 2, it's not something I utilize that much. Halo 2, I used it more just for twin needlers.
I guess it kind of goes along that line of, from a lore and like actual ability perspective, you should be able to dual wield some weapons. But there is.
Honestly, balance. With lore, you should be able to dual wield battle rifles. There's multiple instances in the extended universe where Spartans fire battle rifles one-handed, or ARs one-handed.
I mean, there's a lot of lore stuff that could be brought into Halo, right? Like, realistically, you should be able to sprint and fire your weapon, but, once you bring lore into gameplay...
Whole gameplay mechanics and
exactly.
Balance.
Once you start bringing, like, lore into gameplay, it becomes a whole different kettle of fish, so...
Yeah.
But yeah,
so leave it as an option for customs.
We've had the sprint discussion multiple times, and probably will have some more before the game launches,
and then more when the game launches. I expect.
Yeah, because it'll have sprint, and people will be complaining, and then it's like, well,
The way I look at it, yes, it's not a mechanic that Halo originally shipped with, but it's something that was cut. More due to time than anything else. Also, the fact that you are basically wearing a vehicle and you can't run just doesn't make sense to me. And it's never has. Even when I first started playing, CE for the first time, I'm like, this is as fast as I can go and I'm in this mechanized suit. I should be able to at least match a vehicle for a short distance.
It is a very interesting discussion point for sure.
But anyway, you know, that's, you know, that's past the dual wielding point. It just, I just don't think it's a mechanic that works with the sandbox that has been traditionally put in Halo very well. And in Halo 2 and Halo 3, I think it introduced more problems than it was worth.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay. Fair enough. I can live with that. I think the idea of having it available in customs, though, is not necessarily a bad idea.
No, it's not. I mean, like Team Bubble Bath. You got to have dual wielding for Team Bubble Bath.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, we got to get that frame rate down to, you know, 2 or 3.
Interesting to see what it looks like on the X. It might actually be able to keep 60 frames a second.
I don't know.
That should be the stress test for for graphics going
new forward. New stress test for any new console. Yes. Team Bubble Bath.
Team Bubble Bath. Yes.
Oh, geez. Be. I remember the first time I played that on Xbox 360. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it got down to about 2 or 3 frames a second.
I'd spawn tink.
Tink.
Tink. Boop. Tink. Dead. Boop. And then next thing I know, I'm in the respawn screen. I'm like, what the heck just happened?
Yep. Yep. All right. So our last topic is the weapon poll that we put out. And we got a lot of responses on this one. So I'm going to kind of read over these quickly. But we put together pretty much every single weapon. And unfortunately, I forgot one. I know. I forgot one. Yeah. But these were, I'm calling it kind of like infantry weapons because I didn't include the turrets. I didn't include like the break off things that you could walk around with.
Yeah.
So your typical like infantry based weaponry. And I got all of the UNSC, the Covenant, and Promethean. And I tried to get them all from the games. And obviously there's some like variants out there, and I ignored the variants part. So just kind of baseline of every single weapon out there. Unfortunately, on the Covenant weapon, I missed the brute shot. I'm not sure how I missed the brute shot, but I did. So I'm sorry. Someone caught it, and they're like, oh yeah, turns out I did. So anyways, on the UNSC side of things, we have the AR, the Magnum, the BR, the SMG, the DMR shotgun, the Halo 5 regular rocket launcher, not the Spanker. We also have the Spanker in here as well. The SAW, the grenade launcher, the railgun, the sniper rifle, the Spartan laser, the Hydra launcher, the Halo 1 pistol, because that thing is in a class of its own. Same with the Halo 2 battle rifle.
Mm-hmm.
The MAC target load designator, the flamethrower, the sticky debt, the silenced pistol, and the silenced SMG. On the Covenant side, we had the storm rifle, the plasma pistol, the carbine, the plasma rifle, the needler, the spike rifle, the brute plasma rifle, energy sword, beam rifle, plasma caster, fuel rod, gravity hammer, focus rifle, plasma repeater, Halo 2 beam rifle, plasma launcher, concussion rifle, and I missed the brute shot. And then on the Promethean side, the bolt shot, the suppressor, the light rifle, the scatter shot, the binary rifle, the incineration cannon, and the sentinel beam. And then for grenades, we had the frag grenade, the plasma grenade, the splinter grenade, and then the
incinerary?
Halo 4 one. No, the
pulse grenade.
Because splinter is the Halo 5 one. There's the Halo 4 grenade. Pulse grenade. Thank you. Yes.
Pulse grenade. Yes. Yeah.
The spike grenade and the incendiary grenade. So,
well, you know, technically, you really should have put the Halo 2 sword in its own little class too, because it's
a monster,
the sword.
I thought it was similar enough.
Yeah, Halo 2 and Halo 3 sword played nothing alike. But anyway,
anyways,
I get it.
Yeah, so. Out of all of those options, we basically asked people to tell us what their favorites were in that. We got a couple of responses on Facebook, so we'll start with those because those are the easiest ones to go with. We've got someone saying the Splazer as being one on there. And if someone wants to keep a tally, go for it, because there's going to be a lot of them in here. And then someone else said the DMR or the Spanker rocket launcher. And I don't know what a Zimmer frame is, but yeah, this person said DMR, Spanker rocket launcher, and a Zimmer frame for the 79-year-old. Do you know what that means, GT?
No.
Okay.
I can't say that I do.
Zimmer frame is like the thing they used to walk with, right? You know, like the, there's like a four legs. It's like a steel. Yeah, yeah, one of those.
Oh,
yeah.
A walker?
Okay, that's what you guys call it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Lost in translate.
I call him a walker. But anyway, must be.
Yep, it's a walker. You're right. Anyways.
It's got like flames on it?
For Hans Zimmer. someone else said the MA5B, which is the assault rifle. And then some people actually like did it by group because the way I had the letters, I did two letters. So I had like AA for the assault rifle. And then when it got to the Covenant stuff, I had B as the first letter, C for the first letter of the Prometheans, and then D for the grenade. So some people did like one in each. So one person said the Saw, the Needler, incineration cannon, and the plasma grenade. And GT and Spartan, if you guys haven't thought of your favorites yet, you might want to do that while I read through the almost 100 responses we got on Twitter and see how quickly I can go through all these.
Well, I've got mine in here already, so.
Okay. I was honestly surprised to see us get that many responses to this tweet. I mean, it's awesome, but I wasn't expecting it to be this big. Josh from over at HCS Pro Talk says the shotgun or the Halo 2 battle rifle. B-Train says the Spartan laser or the plasma grenade. There's another one up there for plasma grenade and Spartan laser. Podcast Evolved, I'm not sure who from Podcast Evolved is writing this one, but said DMR or the grenade launcher or the railgun. Duquesne said the Spanker rocket launcher, the energy sword, the light rifle, and the plasma grenade. Chalk another one up for the plasma grenade.
I imagine the plasma grenade is probably going to be the popular one.
Probably for the grenades, yeah.
It's a great grenade.
Finish the Fight podcast. Not sure again which host this is, but the shotgun or the DMR. So there's another couple ones for shotgun and DMR. Green Skull says the energy sword. Haas, who's actually in the chat now, he said the Magnum or the Halo 2 BR. Halo France says the plasma pistol plus the Halo 2 BR, so classic noob combo. Yeah. Hidden Xperia, he said the Halo 2 battle rifle, the plasma rifle, the binary rifle, and the frag grenade.
Nice. I can appreciate the frag grenade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because we didn't have Iconic on that list.
Rage More Nerd said the silenced SMG. That's a first for that one.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, though.
Pins Halo says the target designator.
Hey man, that got me a lot of XP. A lot of XP.
Yes, yes it did. Yes it did.
The old sword base technique.
Mm-hmm.
Next one we have is from Squally the Beans. He says I really like Redacted. Because he works at 343. but he said the Halo 2 battle rifle, the needle rifle. I think that's the second one for that one. The scatter shot and the frag grenade. Halo Codex, he says, or she says, the Halo CE pistol, the Halo 2 battle rifle, and the Spartan laser.
I'm surprised at these people picking the Spartan laser.
There's a lot picking Spartan laser. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. The Legendary Woman 7, the Halo CE pistol. And then Sir Luke Duffy, he was the one that pointed out the missing brute shot. Sorry. I'll try to do better on the next one, which will be coming out next week. Tepec, he says, such a tough choice. If I have to choose one, he'd make his choice on how much fun I have been playing with all the Halo games, and with that, the plasma grenade. And he has a little video of him launching off of a mongoose with a plasma grenade on ODST. Someone else says no brute shot. No Mauler. Did I miss the Mauler too? Oh my gosh.
Yep, you did.
Did you have plasma caster in there for the stuff?
I had plasma caster. Yeah.
Wait, if the Mauler wasn't in there, was the Spiker in there?
The Spiker was in there.
Spiker's in there.
How'd you forget, like, one dual-wieldable weapon?
I thought I got the Mauler. I thought I got the Mauler. The brute shot, I know I forgot. I thought I got the Mauler, but apparently I didn't. Maybe you just have to do this again in 6 months and actually do it for real. Michael Cole, he says the Halo 2 battle rifle. The astrobiologist, he says it's a three-way tie between the battle rifle, the incineration cannon, and the railgun.
Railgun's good. Yeah.
The focus rifle's actually in there, Angie. Ryuji, he says the flamethrower. That's the first one I got for flamethrower. Incredible Kane Main, he says the Halo CE pistol, the energy sword, the incineration cannon, and the plasma grenade. Grumpy Elite also says the Halo CE pistol. He also has the target designator and the grenade launcher. Alex Pompey on Twitter, the silenced pistol, the silenced SMG, and the Halo CE pistol. Fervent Impact Carbine, and the dual-wield combination of the SMG and the plasma rifle. No, NG, I did not do the turrets. Intentionally, I did not do the turrets. The Elder Stunt, he says the Halo CE pistol, the plasma rifle. He goes, see, so nothing from C fancies his taste. And then the incineration grenade. That's a nice one there. First one we've seen there. Next one is from Micker Killjoy G. That's an interesting name. He says energy sword, silenced SMG, carbine, and DMR. Let's see. I'm just going to kind of go through here unless I see a name that's familiar. Hacksack 7 is the carbine. Skull Fucht says the needle rifle. We've got, let's see, another one for the Magnum and the Halo 2 BR. Saw from Shoddy Flow. Also got the Halo CE Magnum. This one from Masketeer, and he says, always keep it loaded. Call out to the line from Halo CE. Grizzly Rings is the silenced SMG, the carbine, the incineration cannon, and the incendiary grenade. Another one here for the assault rifle. Another one for the needle rifle from Krista over at Podcast Evolved. We've got a top five fix from BC Media Player. The assault rifle, shotgun, magnum, rocket launcher, and Spartan laser. Got another vote for the sniper rifle and the silenced pistol. Got some here. Let's see. DMR, Halo CE pistol, silenced magnum, silenced SMG, and the carbine. Another one here for the sniper rifle, the shotgun, and the magnum. Storm rifle, and Halo 2 BR for our next one. Halo 2 BR for another three of them. Someone put plasma pistol. We've got another one for energy sword, bolt shot, pulse grenade, and the Halo 2 BR. This one is a Sinus SMG. The first plasma launcher. We haven't had a plasma launcher yet, right?
No, we haven't.
And, oh, wow. This person also said the Sentinel Beam. This is XAL1231 on Twitter. And then for the grenade, he has the Incineration Grenade. We got about a third of them to go. We have the Assault Rifle, the Needle Rifle, the Binary Rifle, and then he said between the Pulse Grenade and the Spike Grenade. Yes, Pins, I forgot them all. Thank you. Someone on here has the shotgun. Another person says the silenced SMG, the silenced pistol. We've got another one for the silenced SMG, one for the target designator, the needle rifle, and the bolt shot. Another one for the Halo 2 battle rifle. Someone said dual SMGs, battle rifle. We've got another one across all four. We have the saw, the needler, the incineration cannon, and the splinter grenade. Another set of four here, the DMR, the plasma rifle, the sentinel beam, and the spike grenade. Another one here for the shotgun. We have one here for the carbine, the Halo CE pistol, Halo 2 BR, and the sniper and plasma grenade. We've got another one for DMR, needler, sentinel beam, and plasma grenade. Next one here is railgun or sniper rifle. Another four here, DMR, carbine, sentinel beam. We're getting a lot more sentinel beams at the tail end here.
Yeah.
And the plasma grenade.
We're getting into the vehicle, the people that like to kill vehicles.
We've got assault rifle, railgun, carbine, and light rifle. Another one for the saw. Another one for a plasma grenade. Another one for the grenade launcher. Another one for the battle rifle and the sniper rifle. Another set of four. We've got shotgun, gravity hammer. Haven't seen that one as much. The suppressor and the spike grenade. Another one up for the target designator and the silenced SMG. Another one for the target designator. Another one for the sniper rifle. We've got another one for the silenced SMG or the silenced pistol. Another four set of across. We've got the assault rifle, the energy sword, the light rifle, and the plasma grenade. Another one for the saw. Another one for Halo 2 VR. Another one for the brute plasma rifle. Haven't had too many of those, but we got another one there. Another one for the saw. This one has two, the grenade launcher and the light rifle. Another one for the BR. And then we've got another set of four here, the sniper rifle, the beam rifle, scatter shot, and frag grenade. Another one for the Halo CE pistol, beam rifle, incineration cannon, and plasma grenade. Railgun. We've got one for the BR. Someone else pointed out no Mauler. Sorry, guys, I tried to get them all. Three Covenant ones here. The plasma rifle, the brute plasma rifle, and the gravity hammer. Another one for the gravity hammer. We've got a set here for the silenced SMG, the carbine, the bolt shot, and the splinter grenade. Another one for the beam rifle, target designator, Halo 2 BR, assault rifle, and last but not least, oh wait, it says show more replies. Nope, that's, oh, there's two more after this one. Okay. Needler, and then two more replies here. We've got three responses on this one, the silenced pistol, the sniper, or the beam rifle, and the incineration grenade. And then last, to wrap it up, is the target designator. And then I tweeted out, and DJ said, gravity hammer. Why even ask? So I'll throw that one in there.
I'm surprised that the CE pistol and the Halo 2 BR weren't more dominant.
Yeah. I'm surprised how many people said the Spartan laser.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a pretty wide mix across the board.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't many beam rifles in there, which I was surprised about. Or snipers, really.
A lot of beam rifles.
Snipers in general, there weren't that many.
There's still a fair amount.
Is there any binary rifles in there? I didn't remember.
There were a couple. Yeah, there were a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought sniper rifles as a whole would be more common, though.
I'm surprised not many more people said fuel rod or the Halo 2 beam rifle.
Mm-hmm.
No one said concussion rifle. Almost no one said the Halo 5 rocket launcher.
Yeah.
Or the sticky debt.
I don't think anybody said... Yeah. Yeah, nobody said plasma caster either.
Nope.
I'm really surprised nobody said bolt shot.
Some people said bolt shot.
I didn't remember hearing anybody say bolt shot.
Yeah, there are a few bolt shots.
Oh, okay.
Thought there was.
See, there's another one you should have separated out.
Yeah, the Halo 4 and Halo 5 bolt shots.
The Halo 4 bolt shot and the Halo 5 bolt shot.
Well,
the pocket shotgun or the...
Yeah,
the
aimbot. Yeah, I tried... I didn't want to put like every single weapon from every Halo game in there. I was trying to keep them
in the classes. Well, I understand, yeah, but those are pretty significant changes between the two.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'll do another one and I'll fix this.
Just call it the pocket shotty.
No one said the Hydra.
It was quite the mix. I'm really surprised.
Yeah. I was surprised how many people went for the silenced ones. A lot of ODST people.
Well, I have to admit, the silenced ones were a lot of fun in ODST.
They were.
There's a lot of fans of the spike grenade and the incineration grenade as well, considering they really only appeared for Halo 3. ODST as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we know for sure the plasma grenade was the winner there.
Oh, most definitely. Winner.
Yeah. So I guess in the UNSC weapons, we got quite a few Spartan lasers, Halo 2 BRs. I want to say those are probably the higher ends of the human weapons. I think shotguns were pretty close up there too. Again, I haven't tallied these, so I'm kind of going off of memory.
Yeah, there was actually, as far as human weapons, they're pretty good spread across the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was only a couple of them that weren't mentioned. You know, like the sticky debt and somebody said railgun.
Yeah, there was a couple railguns, a couple grenade launchers, a few spankers.
Yeah, no Hydras.
Nope, no Hydras, no Halo 5 rocket launcher, no sticky debt. There was, one flamethrower?
One flamethrower, which I can understand, because the only place it was in CEPC and then also in ODST. Well, I guess it was in Halo 3 too. Never mind. Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't a real widely used weapon in the game, period.
Mm-hmm. And then let's see, on the Covenant weapon front, I think the winners there were the Energy Sword, the Carb, and the Carbine.
Good choices, to be honest. I'd say.
Yeah. Pretty standard mix there. On the Promethean front, I think that was a pretty even spread. I don't know if there was any one that particularly stood out. I was surprised about the Sentinel Beam, to be honest.
Yeah. I think we had probably more Sentinel Beams than we did anything else.
It's either that or incineration cannons, I think.
Halo 4 incineration cannons are crazy.
Yeah. And then of grenades, we know that one easy. That was plasma grenades. So what are our choices? Let's start with you, Spartan.
For UNSC, it's really tied between the Halo 2 BR and the grenade launcher. It just depends on the game. I used to love the GL, so yeah.
Okay.
For Covenant, definitely the Halo 2 carbine. Just absolute, amazing precision weapon.
Mm-hmm.
For the Promethean stuff, it would definitely be the Halo 4 bolt shot. Because I used to absolutely love baiting people around the corner with that. And just
the pocket shotgun.
Yeah. And then for the grenades, it'd have to be the sticky grenade. Because I used to have the game attack sticky spree in the Halo Reach days. So, yeah, it'd definitely be the plasma grenades for that. So mine are pretty common choices, to be honest, from the sounds of that list. But hey, they work, so.
They do. GT, what about yours?
Well, I mean, for me, it's the CE pistol. I've had so much fun with the CE pistol.
It's a classic.
Yeah. And of course the Halo 2 BR. I like the needle rifle and of course the carbine, because they're fun to play, or fun to use. The Promethean weapons, I absolutely despised the bolt shot.
I was like your worst nightmare then on Halo 4, right?
No, I had an answer for you. That was a sticky grenade to the face. You might have got me, but you got a blue spider instead.
Get it off! Get it off!
Exactly. Get it off! Get it off! Yeah, I like the Promethean sniper rifle. It was kind of cumbersome to use, but it also was just kind of fun to watch people melt.
Which version did you prefer, the Halo 4 or the Halo 5 version?
Either one. I mean, they both work, they work differently, but I mean, the end result's the same. And then, honestly, I kind of like the spike grenade.
Spike grenade was fun.
Don't get me wrong, I use the, where I don't have the spike grenade, I use the plasma, but I always liked the animation throwing the spike grenade. Just that arm extension.
It was fun there to throw in bubble shields and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yes. Just see it bounce everywhere. Yeah. For me, on the UNSC side, this has to be the Spanker. I love the rocket launcher. On the Covenant side, I would say from utility, probably the plasma caster, but I think the Needler is a really cool weapon. And then on the Promethean side of things, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Probably either the binary rifle or the incineration cannon. Probably one of those. And then for grenades, the plasma grenade. Although the incendiary grenade is fun to use.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, plasma grenade, just getting that stick is so satisfying.
Yeah, it is fun to just insta-kill people with the incineration grenade. When you hit them directly, they just kind of literally melt.
Yep.
So.
Yep. No, I get it. So thanks everyone for responding. Who responded? We will be putting out another poll, and I will have people be checking my work this time around for vehicles. So we'll do vehicles next, and that poll will go out next Monday. So. In a few days. So keep a lookout for that. I think that wraps everything up. Let me just check the notes.
Yep,
that wraps everything up for this episode. We've got Patreon coming out this weekend, so I'm working on finalizing that. So we should have our Patreon up and available for those who want to contribute to us that way. And there are some perks. And once we release that Patreon, you will see what the perks are. They range from $2 to $10 a month. So if you're interested in supporting Podtacular in that way, then we'll be posting links when it's ready. But you can also check it out, podtacular.com/Patreon. Once it's live, that link will take you to the Patreon page. And you can support us there. I want to thank Writing Spawn for taking time out of his morning to be with us and for coming on board and helping us with articles. Really appreciate you stepping up to do that, and looking forward to seeing what you have coming up as far as some of the surprises we've been talking about.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a very fun and exciting time for sure. So I'm looking forward to getting more stuff on.
Cool, man. Thanks. Any final thoughts before I do the final spiel, GT?
No, I'm ready for sleep.
Ready for bed. All right.
I will say one thing. Well, sorry. So I know we just talked about polls. I've actually got a poll up at the moment on my personal Twitter, just asking the Halo fans, basically, if when they buy Halo Infinite, what are they initially buying it on? So ignoring the fact that you're going to get it on everything anyway, what are you going to initially buy it on? I just want to clarify that, because a lot of people have been like, you get it on everything anyway. So, yeah, if anyone wants to kind of answer that poll, it's writing_Spartan on Twitter for me. So, check that out. Just letting the Halo community know there's a poll there. So, if you guys want to answer that, feel free.
All right.
D, all the above. Oh.
Right? Right? That's why I said undecided when I made my vote, because it's like, well, I'll be playing on multiples.
Yeah,
so
it's mainly what you're going to be playing mainly on, I suppose. But, yeah.
Is there any other socials that people can find you or you want to promote before we...
So mainly just my Twitter, Ryan_Spartan. All the things I write for, so Partacular, Halo Respawn, stuff like that. It's all in my bio on my Twitter account. I also have a Facebook page as well, which is the same, Writing Spartan. So if you want to check out any writing I do, Halo or non-Halo related, then feel free to follow either of those. See all my writing stuff.
Very nice. Yeah, go check him out. He's done a lot of good writing, and it's surprising how much writing he's actually doing and everywhere he is, but it's all good stuff, and yeah, go over and check him out. All right, you can find Podtackler on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Podtackler. You can also find us on live streams on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We are live every Thursday night with the podcast at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we have our Fragging Fridays taking place at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. Again, if you are looking to participate in Fragging Fridays, then head on over to our Discord, podtackler.com/discord, and vote in the poll in the playdate channel or the game night channel. That's where we'll be putting up a poll if we're going to be playing the Insider Reach on PC, MCC on Xbox, or Halo 5 on Xbox. So again, go over and vote if you plan on participating. And if you're not planning on participating, you can at least show up and show your support, or just refrain from voting. We would appreciate that. You can also check out our Spartan company. Like we said before, we do have spots available. So if there's anyone out there that's looking to get the Achilles helmet or would like to help us out getting the Achilles helmet, then drop on over to podtackler.com/company and check it out. GT, you want to plug your socials?
Yeah, if you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter at Godzilla Todd, or you can find me also on Mixer at Godzilla Todd, and on Xbox Live, it's Godzilla Space T. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow night on game night.
Very nice. And you can find me at Duststorm in most places. If not Duststorm, it's going to be Duststorm 117 for most of the places I'm at. So I'm on Twitter, Facebook, I have YouTube, I'm also on Instagram, and then my Steam is also Duststorm 117, and my Facebook page is Duststorm 117. Those are, I think, the two places pretty much that has the 117 tied to it. Also, make sure you check out the Halo Hub. It is a Discord server for community content. Sometimes we get some stuff from there. So if you are a content creator for the Halo community, or if you just like content and like sharing content, then check out thehalohub.com, which will take you right to our Discord server. Next week, we will not be having a podcast unless GT and I decide to do an offline one and post something next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks with the folks on from Project Autumn, as long as we don't get a reschedule on the interview there. And then the following week is when we're planning on rescheduling our interview with the Finish the Fight hosts. So hopefully you guys will be tuning in for that, either via download or via live stream. If you're looking for places to download us, you can find us on all the major podcasting services, and we will be working to try to catch up our backlog of podcasts on YouTube, so that will be a viable option. But for the most time, or for the current time, just look for us via audio download. That'll be it for us tonight. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And until next time, keep on fragging them trucks.